has Mason nervous. It's October. I'm nervous nonstop in the month of October. So, rough one last night. Yeah, John, I don't know if you were on Twitter last night, but did you see where my original seats were?
You were in the auxiliary press box, like way out in the outfield, right?
By the left field foul pole, behind the left field foul pole. I thought I might as well just be at home from this point. But then the guys had an extra seat. Jorge and Greg had an extra seat down low on field level, along with our friend Alyssa and her brother. Ultimately, I was that guy. I was in somebody else's seat. So I got squeezed out. You know how that guy is always like in the wrong seat. He's always sneaking around looking for that guy.
It was amazing.
This is the difference between me and you.
Yes.
I would never even go to the game with that first seat you had. I'm a complete ticket snob. If I don't have a great seat, I'm in home in front of the 80-inch TV.
I want to be in the building. I want
to
be there.
I want to
be part of it. Okay.
Have you noticed that whenever you go to Dodger Stadium for big pivotal games, the Dodgers lose?
No, it's completely wrong.
Tell me when you were there for a big, I mean, like, you're not going tonight, are you?
Yes, of course. I haven't missed a Dodgers home playoff game in at least a decade.
Yeah, and when's the last time they won a big?
Oh, geez, I don't know. We've gone to we've been in the World Series two of the last 3 years.
And the one
right?
time they didn't play at Dodger Stadium, they
I
won.
I was there. Yeah, I was in Dallas.
When you, the mixture of you, I got many, many, many tweets about this. The
Such
mixture
garbage.
Of you at Dodger Stadium means trouble.
Look,
I think you should take one for the team and watch from home.
I was at four regular season games this year, helmet nachos and all, and we won. This is the first loss I was at this year at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, but these games mean more now.
Well, that's always what the Mason curse was, though, Mace, is that it was in a playoff game. It was in a games that matter. It wasn't the regular season stuff.
I was at the World Series every single
game
of the World Series
in
Arlington last year.
Right, but that was not at Dodger Stadium. When the Dodgers lost to the Astros Game 7, you were there. When the Dodgers lost to the Red Sox Game 5, you were there. When the Dodgers lost to the Giants last night, not only were you there, they didn't score any runs.
What about all the playoff games?
Alex Wood.
What about all those playoff games leading up to the World Series? Yeah. I was there.
Yeah, but this is do or die. This, man.
It is do or die.
Is must win. This finally is the proper use of must win.
This
and
is
since
must
it's
win.
A must win. You got to take one for the team.
Yeah, this is must win. I'm going to be there. I'm going to sneak around again. I offered to get tickets for Jorge and Greg, and they passed. Now, why did you guys pass?
Well, I passed because I'm just exhausted, and I just I need to go home. I want to watch at home on the floor like I always do. I feel like I'm off being at an actual game.
Okay, Jorge, you're something about a pumpkin patch, right?
Yeah, I got to take my kid out. Brenda planned something tonight for the
Wait a minute.
Kid.
Brenda planned something in a must-win, do-or-die playoff game? Priorities, man. Tell her to take the kid, take the pumpkin, and do it without you.
Yeah, playoff game. Pumpkin patch playoff
Michael
game.
And I
Come
will
on.
Be monk. Michael and I will be calling the Laker game tonight at Staples Center, and we have a row of TVs in front of us.
Yep.
There are going to be a lot of baseball on those TVs.
Oh,
normally,
yeah,
normally we use it for replays, but tonight, at least one big TV on the Dodgers.
By the way, John, Mason was an absolute stalker last night.
Stalker mode.
Like full-on stalker mode.
In what sense?
7th inning stretch. We get a text. Jorge, it is bad luck if you don't stand up for the 7th inning stretch.
Oh, dear God.
I look around. I don't see this guy, right? So I said, okay, this is creepy. Where are you? He says, right behind you. I look around. He's not behind me. He was hiding behind one of those poles.
He was nowhere to be seen. He was in full stalker mode.
Like, Jorge's like, how did he know I didn't stand for the 7th inning stretch?
Okay, by the way, I have an ethics question to ask you guys. Okay, we're going to cover everything. We'll get to John Gruden. We'll get to the Lakers. By the way, this just in. No Steph Curry, no Draymond Green for the Warriors tonight.
Adding more excitement to the proceedings.
Well, but we may get LeBron, AD, and Russ for the first time. I don't know. We're still
okay, cool,
hear.
Cool.
All right, so the other night, we're doing a game in San Francisco.
Yes.
And our statistician, our normal statistician, who's a great guy, this guy named Jeremy, comes in like he always does. He sits right to my left.
Yep.
So it's Jeremy, me, Michael, and the engineer. And comes time to play the national anthem, for the first time ever, as long as I've been doing this, been doing games for 25 years, Jeremy does not stand for the anthem.
What?
And,
what?
Everyone else in the press box was standing.
Did you say something to
him? I did. I said, what, did you go full Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf on me? What's up, man? And he just passed it off. Like, oh, yeah. I seriously think I'm going to get somebody else next time. Is that, am I being too harsh? Because he's really good.
Yeah.
Jeremy is really good at stats. But I think that's an egregious offense, and I think he needs to spend a game in the penalty
box.
What
was his reason?
Did not give a reason.
It wasn't like a protest. It wasn't anything like that.
I think it was laziness.
Laziness. You know, even if I'm in the concourse and not like if I'm running in late to the game or I'm getting food, for example, at Dodger Stadium.
Can't sit for the anthem.
I still stand and take my hat and hold it over my heart, even if I'm not in the stadium.
Unless you're doing some type of legitimate protest, you cannot sit for the anthem.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. Yeah, I would probably try another. I'd put him on suspension. Suspend him for a game.
I actually look around during that. I look around during the anthem to see if anybody's sitting.
And don't you think?
Nobody.
Okay, by the way. There is this, and I will not throw this person under the bus.
Okay.
Do it. Do it anyway.
He works for ESPN.
Okay,
still do it.
Still do it.
Major ESPN talent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Last year during a playoff game, sat for the anthem.
Ooh. Oh, Mason, what are you doing, man?
It was not Mason.
I'm just kidding.
Definitely wasn't me.
National talent.
Wow.
And I've thought less of him ever since. I did not. He's too big. He's higher up in the pecking order than me.
Everybody's higher in the pecking order than us.
Yeah, good point. But so I don't feel like – like, for example, if somebody – if you went to a Rams game and somebody like on the big network broadcast, right? Somebody like Al Michaels or Chris Collinsworth didn't – no, they – I assume they always stand for the anthem.
I'm sure
they
do.
But if they did it, would you say something to them or would you out them on the radio?
I think it's a really good bit, so I'd probably out them on the radio.
It's the right answer, Mace.
I'm all about the bits, man. Come on.
Yeah,
we love bits.
If he didn't work for ESPN and he couldn't get me fired, I'll tell you guys later.
Okay, yeah. Tell us later.
Can we get a hint?
We'll keep it to ourselves. So,
several hints. Major ESPN talent on the national level.
I think
well,
I know.
That could be
I think
a
I know
lot
who it
people.
Is.
That could be. Oh, right. I think
right,
I know
so
who it
this.
Is, too.
Okay, then how about this?
Yeah.
I will give each of you one guess.
Oh.
If you get it, I will admit it. And if you don't get it, then we're done.
Fair. Okay. Go ahead.
That's good.
Bergman, who's your guess?
Mike Wilbon.
Incorrect.
Ooh.
Mace, what's your guess?
Stephen A. Smith.
Incorrect.
That was a long pause there.
No, I did the pause for drama. No, it was not. I swear to God, it was not Stephen A.
Okay.
But you guys were, you know, those were good guesses.
SVP.
Incorrect.
Oh. Incorrect. You didn't get it. Damn.
Okay. All right.
You
so
have to
do you want
to know?
Well, can I ask you guys questions about this Dodger game today?
Yes. Go ahead.
These are the types of games, by the way, that are a privilege to play in. You know, everybody's saying the Dodgers are out. They're dead. They're not dead. If they win tonight, it's game five. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm sure on the other station they're saying, oh, they'll win it in five for sure. They won't.
Wait, I'm going to say that. We'll win it in five for sure.
You're a homer. Here's the point. Here's the series so far. The Giants, who were the better team during the regular season, have shut the Dodgers out twice. The Giants are the better team. They've earned a 2-1 edge.
Well, we don't know if they're the better team yet.
They haven't clinched it. All right? As long as you got a chance, that's all you want. Now, here's my first question for you guys. Walker Buehler is going to pitch on short rest.
Yes.
How much rope do you give? Now, you know me. If he loads the bases in the first inning, I'm pulling him. You guys won't. You got to respect his career. Leave him out there. How many runs does Walker Buehler have to give up in the early innings before you guys get somebody up?
Well, give me a number of innings and how many runs.
Let's say he gives up two in the first, two in the second.
I think he's gone.
Yeah,
Greg?
He's absolutely gone. But hey, hold on. But Ireland. So last night, Scherzer put two guys on in the first
inning.
Didn't
give up any runs.
Didn't give
but
up. Gave yeah,
up
but
what, You always say if he puts two guys on, yank him.
You got somebody up in the pen ready to go.
No, tonight I would if Walker Buehler puts the first two guys on tonight, I get somebody up in the pen. What's the difference?
Last night you wouldn't do it with Scherzer.
No, but I wouldn't have ever pulled the plug on Scherzer because he didn't give up any runs. Because
yeah,
you got to have somebody ready in case Buehler gives up a 3-run homer.
Scherzer
then I'm
was
out.
Not good in that first inning last
Correct.
Night. Couldn't find the plate.
Got out of it.
See, but if Scherzer would have turned around after getting the ball, he turns around and he sees in the bullpen somebody warming up.
Don't care.
He would have been pissed.
Hey, you're a professional athlete. Deal with it. This is a must-win game. The biggest mistake Dave Roberts has made as Dodger manager is leaving Yu Darvish in too long. Game 7, 2017 World Series against the Astros.
This kind of goes to last night. We should have scored. I mean, honestly.
But that's not on Roberts.
Didn't we lose that game 4-1?
I think we lost that game
4-1. Shouldn't we have scored?
Which game?
The Game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah, I don't remember. They scored 4 runs early.
Yeah, they scored 4 runs in the first and second, and then didn't score. We should have scored. Just like last night, we should have scored.
Now, with that wind blowing out the way that it was, blowing in the way that it was. I mean, Gavin Lux, I don't know if you guys saw this because you were at the game. Lux was convinced he hit it out.
Oh, yeah, 106.9 mile per hour exit velocity, 22-degree launch angle. Everybody thought that was going on.
And it really, to be honest, wasn't close. It was like the front of the warning track.
Yeah.
Evan Longoria hit one completely on the screws. He was the one guy able to get it out. But because the wind was such a factor, should they have and should they tonight play small ball, which they haven't done all season?
It's a fair question. So I don't know if small ball is the term. But here's what I'm saying.
If Mookie Betts gets on like he did last night, he got on early, do you try and have him steal second, which you really haven't asked him to do very much? Do you bunt for someone other than the pitcher? That type of thing.
No, here's what I do. So Dave Roberts always talks about hitting the driver. He uses a golf analogy. He talks about hitting the driver. And everybody last night was hitting the driver despite the fact that the wind was blowing in. Hit some 7-irons. Hit an 8-iron. Go with a 2-strike approach for the first pitch. Don't swing for the fences right away. Now, I don't know how windy it's going to be tonight. Last night, John, I have never seen it as windy as it was last night at Dodger
Forget Stadium. You. Clayton Kershaw said he's never seen it that windy. Ned Coletti said he's never seen it.
It may have been
the windiest night in Dodger Stadium
there
history.
There was crap blowing around. I mean, there was dust. I mean, Scherzer talked about feeling like he was being blown off the mound at times and trying to work out his mechanics. I mean, it was as windy. You know, the game, I think, the play of the game, and we talk about the Lux near home run or close to a home run. Seventh inning, runners on first and second, Mookie just scalds a ball.
And Brandon Crawford
makes that catch, hits it just perfect, and snags it out of the air. That was going for a double. Souza Jr. at least would have scored.
He was already two runs in third base.
Yeah,
it was a lock. But you know what? The Giants' defense has been excellent.
It's been excellent
in this whole season. The Giants have earned this position they're in, but they're not in the clubhouse yet.
Nope.
So if you're a Dodger fan, you can't assume that because they've been shut out twice, they're not going to hit tonight. In game two, what'd they get, Greg? 9 runs?
Yeah, 9 runs. They put up 9. So it went 0-9-0. And by the way,
they are not dead yet.
Want to hear a really weird nugget? The Dodgers are seeing Anthony Desclafani for the 7th time this year.
How have they done against him?
They scored 10 runs against him earlier this year. His last appearance, September the 3rd, he threw 6 innings of shutout, 2-hit ball. So it's sort of a mixed bag. They crushed him at times, and he tightened the screws on him at times. But they're going to be very, very familiar with him, which is an advantage.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very exciting. 6:07 first pitch.
Yep.
I think, which is a half hour earlier than last night. I think the Dodgers win tonight, and they put a ton of pressure, and you have Julio Urias thrown in Game 7. So you got to take these one at a time. The Giants can deliver the knockout blow tonight, and they've been great, particularly pitching and defense in this series. The Giants have been excellent, but they've got to do it one more time.
So you're worried about the wind just a little bit. So I'm at LA Live, which is about, 2-3 miles away from...
Yeah, very close to Dodger Stadium.
It is very windy.
It's still
very,
windy.
Very windy out there. Jorge, you walked through it.
Keep the driver in the bag, man. Hit some 7-irons. Hit some 8-irons. String together some hits. That's going to be the game plan, as opposed to swinging from your heels every single at bat. If it's windy, don't expect the home run. If you hit the ball into the air, the wind is going to knock it down. Now, the exception, of course, was Evan Longoria, and Evan Longoria just crushed that baseball. Just 110-mile-an-hour exit velocity, crushed that baseball. And that's what it would take to hit a home run at Dodger Stadium tonight if it's windy the way it was last night. All right, 877-710-ESPN. What is your level of confidence going into tonight? Again, it is Walker Buehler on short rest versus Anthony Desclafani, the Dodgers seeing him now for the seventh time this year. Were you at the game last night? I mean, windy doesn't even describe it. 877-710-ESPN. That doesn't even make any sense. Windy doesn't even describe it. No, windy actually does describe it. All right, and also coming up for you, John Gruden has resigned. We talked about this yesterday. We will get into that coming up for you as well. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This 710 ESPN. We were all there last night. Dodgers could not push one across. The Brandon Crawford play in the seventh inning could have been the, and we'll see tonight if the Dodgers win. It's not the case if we go to five games and if Julio is able to win game five. But that could be the series defining play, was that Brandon Crawford catch of the Mookie Betts line drive, which would have probably gone for a double and scored one or even two runs. I think that play was probably, if it goes down this way and if the Giants win, that could be the defining play of the series.
Well, that wasn't even his best play of the whole series. Remember that in game one?
Oh, the crazy double, scoop? Double play.
Yeah, that thing was unbelievable.
So last night was, fans showed up, fans were up for it. A lot of people stayed. Alyssa, who works for us, did not stay. I just want to point that out.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that when you said Alyssa, that was Alyssa Siegel?
Yeah, Alyssa Siegel.
And she left early.
She left early.
She pulled a Mason.
Yeah, wow. She pulled a Mason. And by the way, your pulled a Mason thing, I do not leave games early.
What are you talking about?
I don't leave games early.
Every Laker game I've ever seen you attend, you've left
Laker
early.
Oh, Laker games, that's different.
Why is that different?
Laker games, that's different. I only stay for a half.
Look, the three or the two that we've been to together, Mace, you've stayed the whole way.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've been to this year. You've gone to both.
Yeah,
of them.
You've been
full time.
I've seen you at probably 100 Laker games. I've never ever seen you stay to the end.
Hey, Game 7, 2010. I stayed for the whole thing.
That's your one example when they won the title.
Kobe game, final Kobe game. Stayed for the whole thing and did post game.
Well, you had to do post game.
But otherwise, I'm a very halftime kind of guy. I'm a very halftime. I need to get my rest. All right, so this Gruden thing is out of control. When we left the air yesterday, the email about DeMaurice Smith, the president of the Players Union, was out, and we were discussing that racial slur against DeMaurice Smith. John Gruden apologized after the Raiders lost over the weekend to the Bears. Then all of a sudden, all kinds of emails surfaced. And to be clear about this, this is why it's happening. The NFL is investigating the Washington football team. And so there have been 750,000 emails acquired by the NFL to study what's gone on in the Washington football team organization. That's where this treasure trove of emails that John Gruden sent has come from.
So there's a lot of branches on this tree. The first one is, I'll say this. As anyone who knows, I'm a Raider fan. Ramona's a Raider fan. When situations come up, when someone gets fired or resigns over a crisis and they haven't done anything illegal, if you do something illegal, you deserve to go to jail or pay the consequences. But my position is always, if what they've done isn't illegal, you should do everything you can to look for a reason to give him a second chance. I can't find one here.
Yeah, I mean, he's Donald Sterling. I sent you Donald Sterling.
Yeah, I sent you that text yesterday. I don't think what Donald Sterling did is all that different from what John Gruden did. And again, Mace, looking at it from my lens of, can I in any way find a way to give him a second chance? And I just can't. He just went after everybody. He went after black people. He went after women. He went after gay people. He went after, I mean, and Keyshawn tried to tell everybody.
Yeah, he did.
Keyshawn has been saying for a few years, this is a bad guy.
Yep.
This is who he is. And Mace, what I've found in life is if you're that guy, if you're a bad guy, it's going to come out. I don't know how it's going to manifest itself. But if you have a job in a position of power, look at the world we live in.
Yeah.
Look at all the CEOs and studio heads and actors who were executive producers on stuff and the whole Me Too movement and eventually, if you're abusing your power, your days are numbered. And this was a brutal abuse of power.
There's nothing funny about it. But what's interesting about it is that we live in an era because of email where we write everything down. 30 years ago, nobody would have written down and sent a letter to Bruce Allen. But it's become so easy. I mean, 750,000 emails have been collected. People write stuff down now. It used to be a phone call or a letter through the mail. And no record, obviously, of a phone call. Now there's a record, literally, of every email that you sent. And so you've got to be smart, man. And this is, as you said, he attacked every marginalized sect of Americans there are. How do you walk into a locker room after this and say, hey, I'm your leader. I'm the guy you're going to play for. When 70% of the league is black, when Carl Nassib, who's openly gay, is in that
the only
Raiders
one, by
room.
The way, and he's on the Raiders,
yeah, in his locker room. How can you possibly stand in front of guys and be a leader of men, a leader of an organization? I mean, I don't think, as of yesterday, I was arguing there should be some sort of penalty.
Me too.
Now I think there need to be consequences, and obviously there are. If he had not resigned, he would have been terminated.
Well, okay, now let's get to another branch on this tree. John Gruden's not a good coach. All right, had he continued, you know, they've lost two games in a row. John Gruden's winning percentage since he won the Super Bowl is about 40%.
Yep.
I've said since the start of the season, this was his fourth year with the Raiders. First year 4-12, second year 7-9, third year 8-8. There is no coach anywhere in the NFL who hasn't had a winning season over the past 3 years.
Yep.
Who hasn't been fired. They've all been fired. That if you haven't had a winning season for 3 years, everybody has moved on from that.
But here's
guy.
The thing. Let me pivot on that. So are you saying that if this had been a coach that has won a lot, he would have survived this? Because I would argue.
Very, very interesting question.
I don't think anybody would have survived it.
Here's the thing. If it was Bill Belichick, all right?
Yep.
Somebody who has won 6 Super Bowls, could he have apologized and like done the Michael Vick rehabilitation tour? Or would they had to have fired him?
I think they would have had to have fired him because, you know what, this is not a slip-up. Like a lot of
times. It's a pattern. You're right.
It's a pattern. It's honestly, it's who he is. I mean, this is who he is as a person that has been revealed through these emails. And actually, I think we've got Keyshawn. And by the way, a lot of phone calls. We'll get to those coming up for you on the Dodgers and on Gruden. This is what Keyshawn. Do we have this, Jorge? What Keyshawn said this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I didn't know that John would say things like that and put them in an email. He just always been a fraud to me. He just always been a fraud to me. Never from day one, he's been a used car salesman. People bought it because he inherited a championship team built by Tony Dungy and Rich McKay, and he came in there with a little bit of different energy that we had with Tony, and it kind of kicked us over the top to get our world championship, which I am grateful for. But at the same time, I also saw through who he was through that journey of getting a championship.
If you're a bad guy, if you treat people like this, and these are your views, and again, go read the New York Times article.
No,
there's
the New York
no
Times
wiggle
article
room
is
here.
Blistering, yeah.
I mean, he basically, like Lisa, my wife, read it, and she goes, boy, he just hates everybody.
Yep.
And if it were a player, if it was a guy that threw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, or he had a certain set of skills that were irreplaceable, you could do, like I mentioned, Michael Vick. Remember, Michael Vick went to jail, rehabilitated his image, actually came back and changed the narrative on his career when he went to the Eagles.
Yeah, and he started working with the Humane Society and going to inner-city neighborhoods and talking about how awful dogfighting is.
Right, but Michael Vick had a specific set of skills that were irreplaceable. I can find anybody that can go 4-12, 7-9, and 8-8. Jeff Fisher can do that. All right? John Gruden's not irreplaceable. And the main thing that you said that I think is the most important point that you can make on this Gruden story is that he was in a position to hire and fire people.
Yeah.
The Raiders had a punter, really good punter named Marquette King. All right?
Yep.
And one day out of the blue, he's black. One day out of the blue, John Gruden cut him. Was that because Marquette King, as was reported at the time, was making too much money as a punter, or is that because Gruden doesn't like black guys?
Yeah, let's get into that coming up. Plus your phone calls, Dodgers, do or die tonight, John Gruden, 877-710-ESPN. Let me tell you about my buddy Jacob Imrani. Now, Jacob is a huge sports fan. He's also the biggest and the best attorney in Los Angeles. He's an official sponsor of the Lakers, official sponsor of LAFC. He's the guy you see on all the billboards. He's the guy you see on all the TV ads. He's the guy you hear about here on 710 ESPN. I've been working with Jacob for over a decade, and I had a car accident myself about 2 years ago, 2019, before the pandemic in downtown LA. And you know the first thing I did? I called Jacob, 844-24-JACOB. I called Jacob, and you know what he did? He and his team immediately picked up the ball. They talked to the insurance company. If I needed it, they would have gotten me into a doctor for within 24 hours. And ultimately, they resolved my case favorably. So if you're in that situation, moment of crisis, accident, injury, a pedestrian, motorcycle, whatever that happens to be, friend, associate, person at work, your wife, any kind of accident, you want the biggest and the best and the guy that is going to get you the maximum compensation, and that is my friend Jacob Imrani. He is my attorney. He should be your attorney too. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember,
accident or injury, call Jacob Imrani. Call Jacob.
Call Jacob.com. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's hope tonight, after we beat the Giants, Parasite City. Paradise City.
Parasite City. What's wrong with you?
Come on, man.
Parasite City.
You were a radio DJ? Come on, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, my cough came back a little bit, so I'm back on the codeine. Back on the codeine.
Good. The shows are always better when you're loopy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Dodgers tonight, their backs are against the wall. It is Walker Buehler on 3 days rest after the Dodgers lose last night 1-0.
Such a brutal way to lose.
It is so brutal. Tonight it's again Walker Buehler versus Anthony Desclafani. We were just talking about facing the Dodgers for the seventh time this year. Desclafani very familiar with the Dodgers and vice versa. I think that may work to the Dodgers' advantage tonight. We'll see.
All right, here's Jeff. We got a lot of phone calls. A lot of people want to talk about Gruden. A lot of people want to talk about the Dodgers. Here's Jeff in Carson. Hey, Jeff, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Jeff.
We're good, Jeff. What's up?
Okay, I think if would Mason rather go to the Dodger game and watch them lose or stay at home and watch them win?
Very good question. Very fair question. Mace, what say you?
Well, I mean, if I actually knew that, this is a little bit like that arrogance thing. Do you really think that I am the deciding factor
Yes.
about whether or not the Dodgers win?
I am exactly that arrogant. I think that you are a curse, and you being at Dodger Stadium tonight is dangerous. I say you stay at home with your Puryesca and your big screen TV and leave it to the professionals.
I will be there for the win, Jeff. For the win, I will be there.
Jeff, if we lose tonight, you should call tomorrow and give it to Mason.
Okay, well, why I called is because if the Dodgers do lose and you are there, then the Mason curse is alive.
Oh, God.
All right,
we'll
see.
Mason curse.
But, okay, but, Jeff, if they win, then hey, Mace.
Then there's no curse.
Mace, if they win.
Yeah.
Would you consider going to San Francisco for
then
game
I gotta
five?
Then I got to go up to Frisco for game five.
But see, you'd have to figure out a way to do the show because it would be on Friday, right?
It'd be
on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. I can do that.
Huh.
I can
okay.
do that.
Thanks, Jeff, for the phone call.
Yeah. I got that machine. This machine will work anywhere that I'm talking on, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be on the machine Thursday. It might be risky doing a double Comrex show.
Although
we do them every day now.
Double Comrex every day, yeah.
Yeah, we do them every day now. Here's Paul in Huntington Beach. Hey, Paul, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, always good to talk to you guys. You know what, man? I'm obviously nervous about tonight. It's been a long season, and here we are. But, oh, my gosh, what a great opportunity. The Dodgers have went all in on Walker Buehler for a lot of years. They slow-played this dude. He was the heir apparent to Kershaw. He's the next guy. It's going to fall right in that line of great Dodger pitchers. And tonight, he's won big games in the past, but he hasn't had to come out there on short rest facing the freaking Giants in a must-win game. This is his opportunity
to rise to the top
and be the guy.
This is an excellent point. Mace, he hasn't been paid yet, right?
Correct. Has not been paid yet.
So if he were to win this game and the Dodgers were to move on and then Julio Urias delivers in game five, wow, that's a great card to play in negotiations, isn't it?
Oh,
saying,
it
look,
absolutely
when
is.
You're, when your most expensive team ever that won 106 games was up against the ropes, who saved your ass? It was Walker Buehler.
Yep.
So that's a great point, Paul. I hope he realizes that. I'm sure he does, and maybe he'll deliver tonight. Thanks.
And let's face it. Walker Buehler's had a great year and has pitched in high-leverage situations over the past few years in the playoffs. I mean, of all the guys, he's the one that I've got the most confidence in a situation like tonight. Now, Julio, I've got great confidence in when we get to game five. But Walker Buehler has pitched in elimination games. He's pitched in game fives. He's pitched in game sevens. I mean, he has been our money pitcher in key situations. So I think this is an opportunity. And I don't know that there's anybody I would rather have on the mound.
Oh, I'd rather have Scherzer.
Yeah, but... I. You know what? Scherzer struggled in the wild card game. Scherzer struggled in three of his last four starts. He was great last night.
In this series belongs to Walker Buehler. So this game means a lot tonight. Here's Peter in L.A. Hey, Peter, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How's it going? How are you guys?
Good,
Peter.
Hey, I was at the game last night, and quick question for the three of you that were there. Was it just me? In all the playoff runs, I've never seen a crowd that dead. I get it, we didn't score or anything like that, but the momentum was just never built up by the crowd, and like it was just so tense. And I've never experienced that in the 8 years I've gone to playoff games. Have you guys ever experienced
that
before?
Did the Dodgers give you guys anything to cheer about?
Yeah, there were towels.
No, but I mean,
you know what? I see what you're saying. You know, this is a great call. That was a very staid crowd. That was not a wild crowd. That was not a crowd that made a lot of noise. I mean, was that your experience, Bergman?
Yeah, there was not a lot going on. And even the Giants fans in front of us weren't very loud or obnoxious or anything. They got up and cheered every once in a while.
Well,
but
in a 1-0,
all over.
Think about it, guys. In a 1-0 game, though, what would have been a moment for the crowd to go nuts?
Seventh inning, two runners on, Mookie Betts at the plate.
It was about to explode. The place was about to explode, and everyone just went, oh, because he caught it.
But you're right. The atmosphere was very, very tense. Everybody was tense, and I think that's a function of being a 1-0 game
and not
being able to push anything across the plate.
Thank you, Peter, for the phone call.
Yeah,
hopefully,
thanks,
if you have tickets tonight, make more noise.
Yeah.
Here's Raymond in Los Angeles on line four. He wants to talk about John Gruden and that Marquette King, the punter story I told. Hey, Raymond.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Raymond.
It's funny how ironic that he releases Marquette King for quote-unquote character issues, and yet this guy resigns because of character issues.
Right.
Yeah. John, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, now we know he doesn't respect black people or gay people or women or he just. And by the way, Raymond and everybody, there's a pattern here with Gruden. And there's a saying, Mace, that normally applies to politics, that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
In other words, if you give somebody complete 100% control of your franchise, it's dangerous. For example, Gruden came in, took over the Raiders, and the GM was a guy named Reggie McKenzie, who had done a pretty good job. Reggie McKenzie drafted Khalil Mack.
Sure.
Reggie McKenzie's black. Gruden forced him out. Then he trades Khalil Mack. I won't rehash for everyone who listens to the show. You know, I think that was the worst move in Raider history. But the reason that a lot of people think he traded him was because Khalil Mack wouldn't come in and, for lack of a better term, kiss the ring. Hmm. He wouldn't come in and meet with Gruden. Then Amari Cooper asks for more money, and Gruden trades him. Then he brings in Antonio Brown because he says, you know, I know he's had issues other places, but I'm John Gruden and I can fix him. There's this weird pattern of absolute power where you would think if you had somebody who had a stat, like, I can't imagine Les Snead making those mistakes. I think he would talk to people in his employ. I think he'd talk to Sean McVay. I think he'd talk to Stan Kroenke, and he would say, and somebody would say to him, look, Khalil Mack is a player trying to maximize his value. It doesn't matter that he won't come in and kiss your ring. Amari Cooper is the best receiver in our division. We need to keep him. Not I'm John Gruden, and I know better than everyone. And when he forced out McKenzie, he brought in Mike Mayock off of TV. I mean, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And Mace, now, because of everything I saw in those emails, I'm wondering if the Reggie McKenzie, Khalil Mack, Antonio Brown, Amari Cooper thing had anything to do with all four of those guys being black.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm glad he's gone. I don't want to hate on anybody, and I don't like to kick people when they're down.
Oh, no, I think,
I now think Keyshawn was right the whole time.
Yeah.
And
by the way, Keyshawn has been consistent about that over the years. John Gruden is a bad guy.
Well, and he's, okay, so let's take bad guy out of it. He's just a bad person to run a football team. Those four moves I talked about, trading Khalil Mack, refusing to sign Amari Cooper, forcing out Reggie McKenzie, bringing in Antonio Brown, all bad moves. And then on top of that, you have a losing record in 3 years. You're the only coach in the NFL who hasn't had a winning season in the last 3 years. It's good riddance, isn't it?
But yeah, it is. But I mean, I think all those moves, I don't question. But he is a bad human being. Those emails show that he is a bad person. And I think that's the reason more than anything else he's out.
And I know we're up against it, but another thing we should talk about, and this is something that's getting buried, is how did those emails get out?
Yeah.
And why isn't anybody talking about the emails from the Washington side of things?
Yeah, let's get to that coming up. Plus, Dodgers Nation just sent something out that gives us all reason for hope tonight at Dodgers Stadium.
And the Lakers just made a signing. We'll get that to you, too.
Okay, cool. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so a bunch of stuff happening simultaneously, John. First of all, the signing for the Lakers. Tell us about it.
They've just signed Sekou Doumbouya, who is a French player. This is a good signing for them, Mace. He was the 15th pick of the 2019 draft.
Hmm.
And he's still only 20 years old. He doesn't turn 21 until December 23rd. As a rookie, he was the youngest player in the NBA, and the next youngest was Talen Horton Tucker.
Now, is that a two-way deal?
Yes. And so he played last year in Detroit. He played against the Lakers in a preseason game for Brooklyn.
What do you think? Is he any good?
Yeah, I think he can help him. But the thing I like the most about him, he's 6'8". But, you know, we're the oldest team in the league.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah, the fact that he is still only 20 years old and you can maybe get him and Talen Horton Tucker and Austin Reeves and some of these young guys, I think that now you're developing a bench with some youth, which you're going to need over the next few years. So he is the first player in NBA history born in Guinea, or is it Guyana? How do you pronounce that?
Guyana, is that Guyana?
G-U-I-N-E-A. I know it's Papua New Guinea.
I think that's Guinea.
Yeah, I do too. He was the first player in
Michael
NBA
Thompson would know on the spot.
Yeah. Michael text me and tell me if it's Guinea or Guyana, or call in. He moved to France with his mom when he was one, and his dad was in the military, and so he's like Joel Ayayi, the other Laker two-way player, is also French.
So, Guinea is the official Republic of Guinea, is a coastal country in West Africa.
He said as a kid, I want to be like LeBron James. He's the best elite player, and now he's playing with them.
All right, so, another nugget for the Rams, who are heading off to the to New York to play the Giants this weekend. Rams have placed, unfortunately, cornerback Darius Williams, who's been so important to them, on injured reserve. So he's gone for at least 6 weeks, a big blow to the secondary. I ran into Demoff last night. It's funny. He's always cautiously optimistic. Always cautious. Like I said, hey, going to New York, the Giants are really banged. He said, yep, you know, it's a week-to-week league.
Week-to-week league,
it absolutely is.
And he's been around it his whole life, so he would know.
All right, so one other nugget that I promised here is from Dodgers Nation. They point out that the Dodgers were down 3-1 in the 2020 NLCS and came back to win the series.
That was against Atlanta, right?
Atlanta. They were down 2-1 in the 2018 NLCS and won Game 7 on the road. They were down 2-1 in the 2016 NLDS and won Game 5 on the road. This series isn't over. We'll do it the hard way. That's exactly right. I mean, for the Dodgers to win, they're going to have to do it the hard way.
All right, so let me get to a part of this Gruden story that is troubling. All right? So you mentioned at the top of the show that the reason these emails got out is that the NFL is investigating the Washington football team, and as part of that investigation, they've accessed over 700,000 emails. What? And Gruden, one of the people Gruden was emailing, at least one, was working for Washington.
Yep.
Why hasn't anything come out about the Washington football team?
You know what? I'll tell you what. Why hasn't anything come out about anybody else? It's almost like NFL has taken Gruden down.
Or someone with an agenda. Like, who leaked this info? Somebody who's part of that investigation obviously leaked it to somebody else. And does it make you wonder who else is in these emails?
Well, that's funny you say that, because this story just broke from Pro Football Talk. The NFLPA is petitioning the NFL to release the rest of the Washington football team emails. Who else said awful stuff in those emails?
Well, and here's something and guys like Dan Snyder are like this. I've heard Dan Snyder doesn't have an email.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, he knew that he would get into trouble if he had one. So he just never, he just doesn't do email. Do you know anybody else who doesn't do email at all?
Well, I know that we don't do politics on the show, but I know for a fact Trump does not have an email.
Jim Hill, the great Jim Hill.
Jim Hill, no email.
Doesn't do email.
Yeah. Does he do text?
Yep. You can text him, but he doesn't do email.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at this point, it's hard to find somebody that doesn't have an email address, isn't sending email. Here's something. Here's another branch on this tree, as you like to say.
Yeah.
Didn't everybody that ever worked with John Gruden know that he was a bad guy?
Right, but...
Didn't his assistant coaches hear him use this language? Didn't certain other owners, other coaches hear him use this language, or did he write this language to other people? In other words, why didn't somebody close to him, or why didn't somebody who worked for him blow the whistle? It's a little bit like, you were watching the morning show, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit like how, if you're watching this show, it's sort of a template like Matt Lauer and Katie Couric kind of thing,
well,
right?
How about this? John Gruden was the highest paid employee at ESPN for several years.
Yeah.
How did nobody at ESPN, out him, for lack of a better term? It's because...
A lot of people look the other way.
Well, it's because he was in the position to hire and fire people. I don't want to get too analogous to what happened in Hollywood, but this is why Harvey Weinstein got away with everything for so long, because he could make people into stars.
Yeah, fear. And
everybody,
fear.
If you watch any of those Weinstein documentaries, or if you read Ronan Farrow's book or listen to his podcast, you know that, I mean, there were reporters in Hollywood that knew Harvey was doing that crap for 20 years.
Yeah, Harvey had enough power to make or break an actor.
And that's why he got away with what he did. And Gruden had enough power to make or break careers as the, and let's face it, as the unobstructed king of the Raiders. Mark Davis paid him more money than any coach has ever received before or since, and gave him complete autonomy. I don't even know if Belichick has complete autonomy. I mean, I'm reading that book right now, that Seth Wickersham book.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, Bob Kraft would tell him what to do. Like, Bob Kraft made him trade Garoppolo. I don't think Mark Davis ever made John Gruden do anything. He said, here are the keys to the car, you drive.
Right.
And with that caveat, Gruden felt untouchable. Because, and you know, people are going to point out, well, these emails started back in 2011 when he was at ESPN. Here's the point. What would have changed his behavior between now and then? You know, why would he talk differently now than he did then? Nobody has, nobody took his power
away.
It's
not like he had a big come to Jesus.
Right. If nothing else, he was given more power and more control over people's lives.
Well, you know, we've talked about a lot of guys, John, who have, for lack of a better term, slipped up.
Right.
Said something that was inappropriate.
Yep.
This actually reveals who John Gruden has been all along.
And, well, here's the other thing. So, like I said before, I really do look for ways, unless you do something illegal and you should be in jail, if you screw up, to use your phrase, I look for ways to give you a second chance. I think people deserve second chances. I looked hard on this one. You can't. I mean, because anywhere you look, he's in charge of too many people. And he has too much control. If that's the person running your franchise and you're gay or you're black or you're a woman, you're never going to be comfortable. And that's not right. That's not fair to the people that work for the Raiders. And say what you want about the Raiders. The Raiders have a renegade image.
Sure.
But here's the truth. In the 60s, Al Davis refused to play a game in Mobile, Alabama because of the way they treated black people.
Right.
He's the first guy ever to hire a black head coach, Art Shell. He's the first guy ever to put a female executive in charge of the team, Amy Trask. He's the first guy ever to hire a Hispanic head coach, Tom Flores, who's now in the Hall of Fame.
Black head coach.
Black and Hispanic.
Yeah.
Art Shell was the first black. Tom Flores was the first Hispanic. Al Davis, the thing about the Raiders has always been, forever, we don't care what you look like. We don't care what your background is. Just win, baby. If you can help us win, it doesn't matter. Al Davis would have put a cheerleader in a skirt in at quarterback if she could throw deep. I mean, he, in that way, Al Davis has a reputation of being this renegade who was kind of mean, and the Raiders have a reputation of being kind of having a lawlessness around him and having no rules. The truth is, Al Davis broke barriers for a long time, and that's why you can't have John Gruden or anybody like him in charge of that franchise, because that franchise has a history of breaking barriers that no other franchise has. Amy Trask, Tom Flores, I mean, Art Schell, they don't happen with other teams. They happen with the Raiders, and Gruden is the opposite of them.
Yeah.
It's such a sad story, because I just wonder how many people got screwed by this guy because he's a bigot.
Well, and I wonder who else is in those emails.
Well,
I mean, if those emails become public, who else is in those emails? And who took John Gruden down? Why were these particular emails leaked? Who leaked them?
It's going to be a great movie one day.
Yeah. It's so – somebody wanted John Gruden out at the highest level.
Yeah, but I mean – and took him down. It's like what happens in, you know, you, not to go all political, but for people listening to the show, you know this. Mace, you did that movie, Little Devil.
Yes.
Where you played Lee Atwater.
Yep.
And you're really good in it. If people, is it on YouTube?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so if people want to watch Mason act and he plays Lee Atwater, and you were really good in it, actually. But that guy, Lee Atwater, was basically a political operative who would do stuff like this. He would, like, find out who you were running against and then take him out. That kind of is what happened here with Gruden. Somebody in the NFL who doesn't like Gruden, maybe somebody he wronged along the way, leaked these emails. I'm glad they leaked them because it got rid of a bad guy. But, man, it'll be interesting to find out how they got out.
Absolutely. All right, we'll get some more of your calls in. 877-710-ESPN. Also, one thing that we should watch tonight with the Giants bullpen. Again, it's Dodgers versus Giants tonight. Desclafani versus Walker Buehler in a do-or-die game at Dodgers Stadium. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.